Steel Plaza. Please stand clear of the doors.
Steel Plaza Podcast, number one in entertainment for Pittsburgh from 303 East Main Street in Carnegie, Sound Color Productions. Here in the studio with us is Jay Weaver of Sound Color Productions and
Spencer Whale.
There he is.
Stage 62 currently.
Perfect. And with a resume so deep, I can't even begin to scratch the surface of it. Spencer, tell us a little bit about what you do.
Well, I'm a freelance director based here in Pittsburgh. I'm from Pittsburgh. I went away to college at Cornell in New York. I've done some freelancing directing in New York. Now this year I've been back home in residency at City Theatre of Pittsburgh on the South Side as a directing observer for the season. I recently worked with their artistic director on Jessica Dickey's The Guard, and now I'm directing Peter and the Starcatcher for Stage 62, which is based here in Carnegie.
That's going to be huge.
Yeah, it's going to be a great production. It's one of the most exciting American plays of the last 10 years, and everybody's doing it this season, so you should come and see our production.
That's a comedy.
It's absolutely a comedy. It's a comedic prequel to the Peter Pan stories that we all know and love. And it's really written for all ages. It's not really a kid's show. It's probably great for like 8 and up because it's so smart and so witty and a little bit bawdy. It's very much for adults. It was a huge hit on Broadway.
They have like those subtle like adult things in it that kids wouldn't get, but like
absolutely.
So like there's a lot of that in like the Disney movies.
Yeah.
Like kids wouldn't really understand it, but there's that just one little thing you're like, I see what you did there.
Yeah, my mom always likes to talk about when she first saw the Shrek movies with us when I was a kid. that was something that was really kind of racy and completely went over our heads. And I think Disney sort of caught up to DreamWorks.
Yeah.
So yeah, we've got Disney, we've got DreamWorks. This show is actually produced by Disney Theatricals because they own the rights to the Peter Pan stories, but it's very much not what you think of when you think of a Disney play. It's really innovative, it's really theatrical. It won a bunch of Tony Awards, and it's probably the funniest thing that you can find on stage anywhere around.
That is excellent. Jay, are you doing sound for this one?
Yes, I am. Yeah, I'll be doing the sound design for the show. I'm looking forward to it. Should be
okay.
Fun.
What do you have to do? What's involved in that?
Mostly that, you know, when you're miking up the actors, you know, making sure that everything that they say is heard, that's my job at the end of the day, you know, and...
Is it a boom mic?
No, these are all wireless body mics.
Oh, wow.
That we, you know, typically in plays... you kind of hide in the costume and the wigs or something like that, and you know, and that particular venue that we perform at, it's kind of very the reverberations a lot, so we usually get a little bit closer so we get a little more of the diction people you know, so you can understand.
Is it brick walls?
No, it's plaster.
Okay,
but it's just huge.
Beautiful classic theater, the Andrew Carnegie Free Library and Music Hall, just down the street here in Carnegie.
Yeah, but it's gorgeous. It's you know, once you get everything dialed in, it's wonderful.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we like to call Peter and the Starcatcher a play with music. It's not fully a musical because there's not a song every 5 minutes, but we've got a two-piece orchestra, a pianist and a percussionist, music underscoring almost the entire show.
Sometimes that's all you need.
Numbers.
Because if you have too much, then people are going to get distracted from what's actually happening in the play. You
absolutely.
Know?
Yeah, and earlier in the development process, they developed this show for years and years in different productions all around the United States before it eventually made it off-Broadway and then to Broadway. There used to be more musical numbers, and then they kept taking them out because what was really special about the show was the scenes, and that was what the audiences were really responding to, that they weren't just getting another Broadway musical.
Right.
And so, you know, part of the sound problem with us is just making sure that the actors get out over the music. But there's a lot of live sound in Peter and the Starcatcher.
Yeah, I'm excited for that because it's kind of like a Foley type of thing, right? Where the percussionist is doing a lot of things.
So you got to mic that too?
I don't know yet. Until I
We haven't gotten there yet.
Well, it depends on, and it's a small theater. So, you know, but if there's some directional things, you know, something's coming in from the left or the right, it might be worth it to, you know, maybe place it there if it's possible to get that place in that small theater.
Yeah, that's going to take a lot of pre-planning, you know.
In a typical collaboration between a director and a sound designer, the sound designer will be able to look at the script and see, oh, it's raining in this scene. I'm going to need a rain sound cue that sounds like it's coming from the street outside.
Right.
Or this scene takes place in a Manhattan apartment. I'm going to need street sounds coming in. But Peter and the Starcatcher is built in an aesthetic called story theater, which is where the actors are on stage, they've got all these props, and they use the props and their bodies, and in this case, a bunch of ropes, to create the entire world of the play without much outside help from a scenic designer or a sound designer. And so we have a rainstorm in our play, but the challenge that I've taken on as director in the spirit of what makes this play so special is that the actors have to create the rainstorm. It's not something that we pump in through the speakers.
Right, right.
So the sound design for this production is there to bring the actors' voices into the laps of the audience, but all the magic of the world we have to create ourselves with the actors.
And it's really true, like, how much goes into a production that people don't realize. It's such a huge, encompassing process. People just go to see a show, and they're like, wow, that was a nice show. But they don't really understand all the things, all the pieces that have to be in place to make it happen. And I think that's kind of, like, a totally missed thing that people really need to, you know, focus on when they're seeing a show. Like, this is really important, what I'm seeing here. It's not just a show, but it's something that took a lot of time and a lot of pre-processing to do, you know?
Absolutely. Months and months, if not years and years. Talking about the development of a play like Peter and the Starcatcher, it took 4 or 5 years from their first workshops at the Williamstown Theater Festival to a workshop production at La Jolla out on the West Coast, to eventually coming to the Manhattan Theater Club off Broadway, and then to Broadway. And the show was completely transformed each time. They would add new people to the creative team, they would rewrite the script. When they were in workshops at this theater company, La Jolla, out in California, they were doing a different script for each performance. They would perform it, they would do a talk back with the audience to get their response, they would rewrite it, and then they would perform the new script the next day. Amount of development that goes into making a play as good as this one and as funny as this one, they want to know, what is the audience responding to? Mm. How can we give them more of that? And how can we make the story clearer? And so the process that's really challenging for us putting on this show here in Pittsburgh is to create a production that has the rigor and the spirit and the fun and the zaniness of what they did over a period of years when we only really have a month or two to rehearse it. So it's crazy in our rehearsal room, and we're having a great time trying to create all of that in a short period.
Wow, that's amazing. We'll be right back after this. We'll be right back. Steel Plaza Podcast, 303 East Main Street in Carnegie. From Sound Color Productions Studios, the director of Peter and the Starcatcher. Tell me a little bit about your background. How did you get started? How did you get into this whole thing?
Ooh, that's a long, complicated question. Well, you know, I do come from Pittsburgh stages. I grew up in the North Hills. I went to North Hills High School.
Ooh, the other side of the river.
Yeah,
ooh.
The other side of the
Yikes.
River.
Over
the
Yikes.
Through the woods.
Does he have a knife?
Yeah, really,
cut me.
The hardened streets of the North Hills. My turf is Ross Park Mall. Don't step
him.
On it.
Yeah. Watch him.
Nordstrom Hood.
So I did a lot of theater, you know, when I was a kid, especially in junior high and high school. I started discovering that it was really what I wanted to do. On the acting side, doing all the plays and the musicals, my senior year, I won the Gene Kelly Award for Best Supporting Actor for playing Lumiere in Beauty and the Beast. And by that point, I was pretty sure that, you know what, I don't want to do this career in architecture that I've been preparing for. My passion is in
theater. You're going to build houses?
I was going to design houses.
Oh, wow.
Very different.
Okay.
I'm not interested in building houses.
Like Property Brothers. Like which Property Brother would you be?
I would be the one designing the Guggenheim, hopefully, in my high schooler's imagination. But I was already applying to Cornell University, which is a really great school and has a fantastic architecture program. But my family encouraged me to switch to go into theater, so I did. I started discovering my last years in high school that what I really wanted to do was direct. I loved acting, I loved creating a character, but really I had a lot of opinions about what everybody else should be doing as well.
Right.
And so I needed to take the big chair and start creating the big picture. I wanted to be the lead storyteller. So I studied directing at Cornell. I had a lot of great opportunities. I did a lot of Shakespeare, became the president of the Cornell Shakespeare Troupe, and just started churning them out. A lot of work around there in Ithaca. And then I came back to Pittsburgh, and I've had a really great time working with theaters like Quantum Theater, Pittsburgh Public, City Theater, my artistic home right now, and my favorite place to be. Kinetic Theater, Hiawatha Project, and more projects, most recently Off the Wall, also right down the street at Carnegie, where I directed Lungs, this really special play by Duncan MacMillan, that's just two actors on a bare stage with no props.
Oh, wow, that's tough.
Yeah.
Like, as a director, did you ever, like, freak out and have to, like, throw a clipboard or, like...
It's my job.
Stop
not to
do it
that.
Again, you fucker. You know, like something like that.
Well, the lovely thing about directing is that I am in charge.
Yeah.
So, if I were to have a meltdown, that would be my own failing.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm already allowed to ask nicely to get what I want.
I mean, have you ever got like really, really hot because somebody's not doing it, not getting it? You know what I mean?
That's not quite my temperament.
Okay.
But I've wanted to. You know, I've wanted to. You know, come see Peter and the Starcatcher. Look at the stage and say, where did Spencer want to throw something in this rehearsal process? I mean, that's the Peter and the Starcatcher drinking game. I don't know.
Oh, wow. All right. That's awesome. That's a great, great overview of your background, and we'll be right back after this.
Ray Ann's Clothier and Goods. High-end clothing at prices that anyone can afford. The always-changing inventory is bottomless. Alongside the high-end women's fashion is where you'll find an absolutely amazing array of vintage vinyl LP records. From collector's items to LP box sets to rare oddities that cannot be found anywhere else online. That's PGHCandG.com. PGHCandG.com. Alongside all of these great items, you'll also find handcrafted artisan handbags and accessories, locally made and one of a kind. Use our offer code SPRING to receive 10% off your entire purchase at checkout. Ray Ann's Clothier and Goods. PGHCandG.com.
Steel Plaza Podcast, 303 East Main Street in Carnegie from Sound Color Productions here in the studio with us. Thanks so much for tuning in and telling a friend. Jay Weaver of Sound Color Productions is here with us. Jay, what's going on with you, man?
Just doing the same thing, working.
Yeah.
Making a buck.
You want to tell our friends what you do here?
Sure. We're a small project studio, so we do everything from voiceovers for commercials to podcasts like this, as well as we can do full bands. But our specialty that we really like to do is take singer-songwriters and get their music in and put a band to it.
That's cool.
That's what we really like to do, you know, because I have a pool of studio musicians that we can always pull together and then we, you know, help arrange their songs and things like that. That's what we really like to do.
That's awesome, because I know that people have been doing things like, have you ever heard of Fiverr.com? It's Fiverr.com. It's a place where you can basically buy music for $5. So, say for instance, you have an acoustic guitar and you're a singer, and the tempo has to be accurate. So, you send that to a person and then say, can you put a bass line on this for $5? And then they come back and say, yeah. And it's like Albania or something like that. But people do that, or, and then they'll try to put it together and look for a guy like you to do the mixing and mastering.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And there's other people, they'll buy actually full songs mm-hmm. on the internet, and then they'll write a song to that backing track. Then they'll bring both, and then they'll come in and we'll record it. And, you know, I might add some different things, you know, some keys or some guitar parts or something like that.
What's, like, the hardest part of that?
Oh, the hardest part of mixing is getting it to translate to your car, your iPhone, really nice stereo. That's the bottom line with mixing. Whenever you hear a tune on the radio, that's the hardest thing to get, and it takes forever.
Because it has to be a certain...
Well, everything has to be balanced just right so that you can hear the bass on your, you know, and the drums like on a small speaker.
Mm-hmm.
But then it doesn't get overwhelmed on a nice, you know, like on a PA speaker.
Right.
That's where the challenge comes in.
And I always notice that in a lot of software programs, I don't know what you would call it, like cookie cutter mastering button.
Right, yeah.
It doesn't work. So it has to be done by hand and by ear, obviously.
Right. Some things out there that they're trying to implement, like, you know, your iTunes has a thing called, I think, Sound Check,
mm-hmm.
which helps normalize the volume between, you know, like when the CD changers came out, when you have multiple CDs, and you would put, and there would be different volume levels between the CDs,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so what iTunes tried to do was, you know, make a kind of like a mastering thing where
right.
they normalize the volume between, you know, analyzes all of it, you know, all your different tunes, and then gets an average level to help keep it level whatever listening environment you're in.
Right. But like those things, I noticed it just smashes and
yeah.
compresses everything.
Exactly. Right.
And it sounds okay, but it doesn't sound like how it should.
Right.
Because it's just, yeah.
And that's another thing, too, when we're doing stuff, you have to be careful because Spotify and all those things, they have a compression thing that they do, too. So if you send them something that's too overly compressed, it'll sound worse.
Yeah.
You know?
And it'll get clipped and everything like that. We're also on Spotify.
Right. Yeah. I mean, but iTunes, they all have a different algorithm that they follow,
mm-hmm.
as well as the radio stations.
The radio station one is real weird.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the bit rate is, but it has to be like a very specific bit rate or
mm-hmm.
it won't play over the radio. And I don't know why.
But they actually just recently, past few years, instated an international standard of the volume level that you need to be at that you can't go over. You know how like in, you know, when commercials used to be really loud.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and people, it was just,
infomercials.
Know, yeah, mm-hmm. you know, or like you'd watch your program, but then when the commercial come on, they'd be really loud.
Yeah.
And so people got mad at that, and then so they created, you know, this standard now that it can, you can't go over a certain limit.
Yeah, it's like, what was his name? Billy Hayes? Billy Mays?
Oh, Billy Mays, yeah.
That, like, lunatic that was screaming all the time.
Right.
I don't even remember what he sold. I just remember he screamed all the time. Oh, what was his product?
It wasn't the ShamWow, was it?
He did like multiple products. It was like a ShamWow.
Oh yeah, no, he was like the king of infomercials.
And like that was the thing, like as you know, an insomniac that I am, like, I would just leave the TV on at night, and then he would come on, and I would just jump out of my skin and, like, have to turn the TV down. I'm like, what in the fuck? Oh, my God.
Exactly.
I have to buy this right now.
But, you know, but other than, and then along with, I'm a guitar player by training, and so I do a lot of gigs there, too, as well. I help people write music and stuff.
And then you have a band.
Yes, I'm in the. We just had played at a new place in Lawrenceville called Roasted, which is really nice. We played there on Friday night. We played at our NOLA gig is every fourth Saturday of down at NOLA in Market Square.
Oh wow, that's awesome!
Yeah, that's our steady gig. It's we're like a soul funk, you know, kind of a blues group. Just four of us. Olga Watkins band is the name of it. Olga Watkins is our lead singer and. She writes music. We collaborate in writing music, and then our claim to fame right now is back when, not the recent Steelers Super Bowl, but back when, the one before, we wrote a song called "Drink Up Yin's Bitches." it was a Steelers, you know, kind of a Steelers song that we kind of did on a whim, and we sent it into DVE, and they liked it and started playing it, and then it just kind of blew up.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. And the thing is, like, in this town, anything that has a Steelers logo on it or twist, people will buy it. Like, if you put a Steelers logo on toilet paper, people will buy it.
Oh,
you know what I mean? It's just like...
Oh, yeah. It's amazing.
People are sick about it, you know?
Well, it's a sports town, you know? And it's,
or Penguins, yeah.
Right. And to me, it's always fascinating, you know? It's like, you know, in the 70s when there was, you know, we had that dynasty, and then the steel industry ended, and then everyone left. And so then it ended up being Steeler Nation went all over the country, and then you have all these Steeler pop-up bars.
Yes,
and so,
yeah.
Because we got on the internet, there was a Steeler bar in Japan that was playing it. You know, so it was just crazy.
Japan. They're opening a steel mill again in McKeesport. They're reopening it.
Oh.
So it's going to be like a renaissance. You know, back to like the deer hunter, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. We've got rapid gentrification and we're bringing the steel mills back.
Yeah,
right.
Yep.
Exactly.
Fight. That's right. We're going to have Christopher Walken go insane again.
That's what this town needs.
Yeah,
yeah.
The deer hunter revival. All right, so we're going to wrap it up here, guys. So where can we find all your stuff so we can see all your upcoming things?
Yeah, please get your tickets to Peter and the Starcatcher. Go to stage62.com. That's the word stage, S-T-A-G-E. The number is 62.com. We run May 11th through the 21st. Come check us out. Tickets are really reasonably priced. And enjoy the show.
Excellent. Jay?
I'm looking forward to working with... Spencer at the up there at the music hall. It's a great music hall. We have I'm doing sound for a show on the 5th with Donna Bailey. They're having a lot of concerts up there, so definitely go up and check them. You know, I'm anxious to see in the next 5 years. I think live music is really going to start, and live theater is going to really start. You know, now that we can't make money selling CDs,
right?
We have to put out. You know, we have to go do shows to make money,
right?
You know, so I'm anxious to see what other venues pop up, but the. The Carnegie Music Hall here in Carnegie is a great venue, and they have a small theater that they're having music programs in there as well. So, you know, come to Carnegie. We've got a nice little town here.
Beautiful town.
Great restaurants to hang out at before the show. Check it out.
Oh, it's huge because everything here is like individually run. You know what I mean? It's
right.
Not like a big business.
Right, yeah. It's all small business oriented. And, you know, we have a couple... You know, anchors, you know, the get-go, but...
Right.
But
outside of that, this entire strip is, like, all individually
small
owned.
Small business, yeah.
Small business. It's
great.
Great,
yeah.
So it's great to come out and support it. Where can we find all your stuff, Jay?
You can check out oldgowatkinsband.com. You find all our music there. You go to my website to see what we're doing, latest stuff, Facebook page and that sort of thing. Just look up Sound Color Productions. You'll find us.
Awesome, guys. Thanks so much. Thanks for tuning in and telling a friend. Always check out our Facebook page for the latest updates, as well as if you like what you heard on the intro, as well as the bumper music, go to thewireriots.com and celebrate some music with us. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time here.
Attention. Do I have your attention? Interest. Are you interested? I know you are, because it's fuck or walk. You close or you hit the bricks. Decision. Have you made your decision for Christ?